Sadam and welcome, dear listeners, to yet another episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. You're listening to us live from our studios in Prashantinilam, and as always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, being joined by Sai Prakash. But as Bishu informed you, we also have a special guest and we're very happy about it. But before we introduce him to all of you, on behalf of everybody here, on behalf of all our listeners, I offer my most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, today we have a good senior friend of ours. He's been a senior in college to all of us. He's been a senior in college to me. I'm delighted to have the company of Brother Shyam. And in the alumni program that we had, he was one of the people who was part of the band, the alumni band. And we almost know him as a person who has always been very active in the band. Brother Shyam completed his M.Tech in computer science in the year 2002. Prior to that, he was a student in Vrindavan, where he completed B.Sc. in Mathematics and followed it up with an M.Sc. in Mathematics. He is a very active Balvikas guru, and we are definitely sure that he's going to add a lot of value to our segment today. So on behalf of all of you, Brother Shyam, welcome to Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam.
Sairam, brother. Thank you.
And Sairam Sai Prakash.
Sairam Prem.
And we are in the middle of a very, very exciting discourse, to say the least. Swami is talking about the three gunas, and I should say that most of what Swami is telling is absolutely fresh, at least to me. I'm not sure about you, Sai Prakash.
Yeah, it's absolutely fresh, and more than fresh, it's absolutely astounding, especially, you know, the precision to which Swami is going to go as the discourse unfolds. And that, you know, in a sense, it's like a substantiation of the sentence that Swami says, I separated myself from myself to love myself. And when he actually separated himself, how did this manifest universe come about? And in a way, this is all, these are all the attributes of Shakti or Prakriti.
Right.
And what exactly Swami means by it, we should go into the details.
Maybe before going to the discourse, I just want to share one little anecdote which a senior of ours who's here for the alumni meet shared with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very interesting, because he was saying that when they were students, they were with Swami, there was a devotee from, I think, Guatemala, one such Western country. And he was an industrialist. I think he had a huge toy factory.
Okay.
But more than that, he was very involved with Swami's activities in that region.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami welcomed him, and Swami looked at him and said, how is your sadhana going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is your sadhana progressing?
Mm-hmm.
So this person said, Swami, I have no time for sadhana, because you know, I'm all the time busy with your activity. We are either doing seva or doing things like this in the center. So I'm always busy, but I'm busy in your mission, Swami. And Swami said, I don't have any mission. Swami said, what mission are you talking? And Swami said, very, very profound sentence. Swami said, I'm not a missionary. He said, I'm not a missionary and I have no mission. And Swami looked at the boys who were there, and Swami asked them very innocently, what is my mission? And nobody could actually come up with a suitable answer. And then Swami looked at this devotee and said, see, the only purpose for which I have come is to make each one of you realize your true identity. And that alone, if anything, can be called my mission. And you could see the series is, you know, one which is a clarion call of what Swami's mission really is.
Correct.
And to look at it again and again, we've said this many times before, that here are some teenagers in front of Swami, the boys from the university, and I'm sure there were school students also there.
Correct.
And to an audience such as that, if Swami is without an iota of doubt giving this as the message, then it's absolutely sure, clear what Swami is here for, isn't it?
That's amazing. I mean, the entire wisdom is given to you in an hour. And at the end of the discourse, when Swami sings the bhajan, I really doubt how many people remembered what Swami spoke. You're just carried away with his love. And then he is going to get down from the dais and then walk in between the rows of the students and ask them, yesterday I gave mango, did you get the mango? What was the size of the mango and all that? I mean, yes, it distracts you from the main theme of what Swami is speaking. But actually, if you analyze it, it is actually love in action.
Right.
He is just living what he spoke on the dais. He said, I separated myself to love myself. So what he spoke on the dais, he comes down and he just lives it.
Right.
And I'm reminded of one incident from life of Arjuna. Mm-hmm. Of course, when we say Arjuna, there is Krishna along with him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is in relation to the so-called tough topics or high philosophy that Prem was just mentioning. Probably even school students were listening. What happened was probably it was after the Mahabharata war,
mm-hmm.
as Krishna and Arjuna were walking, mm-hmm. just taking a stroll. At that point in time, Arjuna says, Krishna, just before the war, when I lost all the confidence, you gave me a wonderful message. However, after the course of the war, I have forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
You had taught me Brahma Vidya, I have mm-hmm. forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Can you teach me again? Mm-hmm. Now that I am in leisure, you can teach me again.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately Krishna says, even I have forgotten. And then he says, whenever something is given to you, mm-hmm. it is not without a purpose. When it is needed, mm-hmm. you will be able to understand the meaning of it and it will be given to you.
Wow.
So, even if Swami's messages are so deep.
Too deep for us to comprehend.
Yeah, at some point.
At that point of time, right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, some point later in life, we'll surely be able to relate to what Swami is saying.
Right. And in a sense, one might look at Swami's message and they might say that Swami is talking about seva, Swami is talking about discipline, Swami is talking about bhajan. How does all this fit into that, so-called mission of Swami and to make us all realize? But that's where the beauty is, and as Swami started this discourse, the apparent, everybody sees it.
Mm.
But you have to see what is hidden. And going back to that statement, I separated myself from myself to love myself. Whenever I look at that statement, the only thought which comes to me is, suppose I'm going to leave my house and saying that I'm going out to get a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
When will I come back to my home? I will come back once I get my newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm going out for a task. Once the task is completed, I get back to where I started from. So here is Swami saying, I separated myself from myself to love myself. And that's the clue which Swami is giving us, because the moment you are able to love everybody as your own self, you have completed the task for which this whole drama started off.
Correct.
And you're going to come back from, you're buying a newspaper is done, you'll come back to home. So, and I think now if I see it, I think everything fits in there. That is why we love Swami. That is why Swami said, see me in everybody and love everybody.
Mm.
And serve everybody. And, no part of Swami's message is actually out of context.
That's true. I mean, everything that he did in his life, my life is my message. So as you see the events in his life and relate it to what he's speaking here in this series, you just realize it's a manifestation of the same truth.
Right.
And if you look at it, the aspect of Swami's omnipresence that we speak so much of,
mm-hmm.
becomes, like Swami says about his miracles, it becomes a sahajam. So it is in everything and everybody. So that he is there in everybody and everything. So that becomes very evident to us.
Right. So shall we take the dive into this discourse, the three gunas?
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to say about the first two clips which we played last week?
There was one thing almost at the end of the second clip that we listened to.
Yeah.
So that was on the Sabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandha.
Right.
And now that we are speaking about Swami's omnipresence,
mm.
so it's a very nice, being a mathematics student, I love proofs.
Right.
So Swami very nicely brings us to the conclusion that God permeates everything. And how does it happen? So Swami talks about the Pancha Tanmatras, which is Sabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandha. Shabda is the sound aspect, Sparsha is the touch aspect, Rupa is the form aspect, Rasa is the taste aspect, and Gandha is the smell aspect.
Right.
And if you look at the Pancha Bhutas, that is the five elements, we have Prithvi, which is earth, Apaha, or water, Agni, which is fire, Vayu, which is air, and Akasha, which is space.
Right.
Swami very beautifully explains, if you look at Prithvi, which is earth, if you see, you take two pieces of stone, hit against each other, even when we clap. So what happens is, the sound aspect comes, and you are able to touch it, so Sparsha aspect comes. And then it has a form where the Rupa aspect is there, and it has a taste, Rasa is there, And there is smell as well, because when it rains, we can smell that. So if you look at Prithvi, which is earth, it has all the five tanmatras, and hence the degree of freedom is very limited. So there is so much of inertia in it. Next, when you come to water, the Gandha aspect, you know, pure water doesn't have a smell. So the Gandha aspect is gone off. It has only four aspects now, and hence it has more degrees of freedom. It can flow. Rock cannot flow. It can just roll if the altitude is suitable.
Right.
Next comes Agni. If you look at fire, you know, if we see that water flows down or flows horizontally, if you look at fire, just take a lamp, the flame grows both upwards and downwards. So it has more degree of freedom. So it's able to expand a little more because it doesn't have the taste aspect, which is the rasa aspect. So it has only three aspects and more degree of freedom. And next comes Vayu, which is air. And air obviously doesn't have the shape, or there is no Rupa aspect.
Right.
And the other three aspects are also missing. Rupa, Rasa and Gandha are missing. So it has only Shabda and Sparsha. And so if you see, air can move around in many more places than all the other three which we saw. And finally it comes to Akasha, which is space or vacuum. So vacuum has just the Shabda aspect. There is this Omkara that is heard. So that Shabda aspect, but there is no Sparsha. You cannot feel vacuum because it is, you know, literally what science says, it is emptiness. And next comes God. We say that God is Gunatita. He is beyond the Gunas. So he has none of these aspects, and hence he is present everywhere. Even if you look at it, you know, scientifically, whether it is gas or liquid or solid, everything is made of electrons, atoms, and, you know, like Swami mentions in this discourse, the truth that science, or the fact that science concludes today, will change tomorrow. So it goes on like this. So if you look at it, but at the end, if you see whatever it is, you know, be it an electron, proton, neutron, or a, you know, quark that we talk about, there is a space between each of those.
Right.
So without the space, the form doesn't exist, or the entire thing doesn't exist. So probably that is the aspect of God that is, that we are able to see. So this was something that I wanted to share.
Talking about God being attributeless, one of our senior teachers was sharing, you know, they were in Kodaikanal, and randomly boys were just mentioning some spiritual personalities, and they wanted Swami to comment about them. So they were just saying a few names, and when they came to one particular guru, let's skip the name for obvious reasons, you know, they just mentioned that guru's name, and Swami said he was a very spiritually evolved soul, but he was attached to his devotees and disciples. He said that is why, you know, that was the reason why he could not reach the ultimate in his lifetime. And the next statement which Swami said was very profound, and actually you could say that they had a fear when they heard that from Swami. Swami said, but for me, there is not even this much attachment. You know, and as Swami always says it, when where there is no attachment, there is only pure love. And, you know, that is the difference. I mean, as you're saying, attributelessness is nothing but being unbound by anything. And just reminded of that.
That's nice. In fact, here he says, the secret of the creation can be known only to the Creator. And, you know, when we are still on the topic of the five elements, I remember when, you know, Swami would eat very little. You know, when he would have his meals, it would be very, very little, because he knew the perfect balance. He's not going to eat more than what is absolutely required to keep the body functional. He says, Swami, if you don't eat, how will you get the energy? Swami says, I don't depend on the food for my energy. The five elements depend on me. The five elements, I sustain the five elements. I am not sustained by the five elements. How amazing.
And now you're talking about the secret of Creator. There was just this small Zen story that I came across. It's about a disciple asking a master, Master, where did this earth, water, trees, all this come from? The master gave a simple reply. Where did this question come from? So if we realize that, so we would obviously come to a conclusion that it is Swami. Mm. So probably we know it. So Swami takes us through all this so that we start feeling it.
That's one very interesting thing which I found in this discourse. Because generally, you know, at least before I heard this part of the discourse, I used to think when you talk of three gunas, you're talking about attributes or you're talking about characteristics, which you associate with people or let's say food or let's say an ambience, sattvic ambience or rajasic or tamasic. But here is Swami saying that the duality or the multiplicity has come from that. And from there, Swami is saying, you know, sattva gave rise to the faculties of speech, sight, hearing and all of them, saying that before the form came, before what is seen came, the faculty of sight came.
That's true.
Before what was heard came, the faculty of hearing came. And that's, I found that something which really changed the way I was looking at it till then.
That's amazing. So I think we should go on to the next portion of this discourse and get amazed and continue to get amazed.
Sure, this is the third clip in that discourse.
అయితే ఈ జ్ఞానేంద్రియములు దేహమునకు వెలుపలవా లేక లోపలవా అని విచారిస్తే ఇవి అంతర్ బహిర్ స్వరూపాలు. దీస్ ఫైవ్ సెన్సస్ జ్ఞానేంద్రియాస్, వెన్ వన్ ఎన్క్వైర్స్ వెదర్ దే ఆర్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ టు మ్యాన్ అండ్ ఇంటర్నల్ టు మ్యాన్, దే ఆర్ హ్యావింగ్ బోత్ ఆస్పెక్ట్స్.
అంటే కర్మేంద్రియములైనటువంటి చెవు మాత్రమే ఉంటుంది, జ్ఞానేంద్రియం అనేటువంటి వినిశక్తి లేకపోయినప్పుడు చెవి ఉండి ప్రయోజనం లేదు.
If there is a sense organ ear but does not have the power of hearing, this ear is useless.
Narendriyam anekunti vinashakti undi karmendriyam ane cheve lekapothe idi kudunu vinaledu.
This ear again, if it exists but it doesn't have the power of hearing which is given by gnanendriya,
gnanendriya karmendriyam yokka sammirtamaina swaroopame ee yokka vesti yokka tattvam.
The aspect of individual is a combination of the both karmendriyas and gnanendriyas.
Loud speakers baita pettaru.
The loud speaker is kept outside of
loud
the
loud speaker untundi ikkada mic lekapothe loud speaker prayojanam ledu.
If there is no mic but there is a loud speaker, it is useless.
Akkada speaker undi ikkada speaker lekapothe prayojanam ledu, ma loud speaker unte prayojanam ledu.
If there is only mic without speaker, it is also useless.
Speaker undi loud speaker lekapothe nu prayojanam ledu.
If there is no speaker and no loud speaker also, then it is useless.
Kanuka ikkada mic speaker rendinti yokka sammilitamaina swaroopame ikkada tattvanni akkadiki akkada tattvanni ikkadiki ni prasarimpa chestundi.
It is a combination of the speaker and the mic which can produce a sound and relay it through loud speaker.
Kanukane ee shuddha sattvamainatundi yokka సప్తగుణ సంపత్తియే శబ్ద స్పర్శ రూప రసగంధాదు.
దీస్ ఆస్పెక్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ సౌండ్, టచ్, ఫార్మ్, టేస్ట్ అండ్ హియరింగ్, ఆల్ దీస్ ఆర్ ది ఆస్పెక్ట్స్ ఆఫ్
సప్తగుణంకు మాత్రమే సంబంధించినటువంటిది.
ఆల్ దీస్ రిలేట్ టు ది క్వాలిటీ ఆఫ్ సత్వ అలోన్.
రజోగుణము యొక్క సమష్టి పంచభూతముల యొక్క స్వరూపమే ప్రాణము.
The aspect of rajo quality and in its all in its collective form is the form of prana.
Satta gunam yokka panchabhuta swaroopamainatundi antakarana aithe rajo gunam yokka panchabhutam yokka samasta swaroopamu prananga nilchindi.
The collective five elemental aspect of satta guna is antakarana. The collective five elemental aspects of rajo guna is prana or life.
రజోగుణం యొక్క సృష్టి యందు పంచభూతముల యొక్క వ్యష్టి సృష్టి ఆకాశం యొక్క సృష్టి కన్ను.
అమంగ్ దిస్ ఫైవ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ విత్ రెఫరెన్స్ టు రజోగుణ, ది ఫైవ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఐ.
ఇంక రెండవ భూతమైనటువంటి యొక్క వాయువు, ఈ వాయువు యొక్క వ్యష్టి స్వరూపము యొక్క బిందువు చేయి.
Hand is the individualized form of the five elements in the aspect of rajoguna.
Rajoguna srishti yandu moodavudainatunte yokka vyasti swaroopamainatunte agni yokka srishti kaalu.
Among the five elements with reference to rajoguna, the individual aspect or limb which represents that is leg.
Nalugu aidi ainatunte yokka gali ప్రకృతి యొక్క వెష్టి యొక్క సృష్టి మలమూత్రములు విసర్జించు ప్రదేశములు.
ది అదర్ టూ ఆస్పెక్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎయిర్ అండ్ నేచర్ అమంగ్ ద ఫైవ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ విత్ రెఫరెన్స్ టు రజోగుణ ఆర్ రిప్రజెంటెడ్ ఇన్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్ ఇన్ ది ఆర్గన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్స్క్రీషన్.
ఇక్కడ చక్కగా గుర్తించవలసినటువంటి విషయం,
దేర్ ఈజ్ ఎ పర్టికులర్ థింగ్ విచ్ యు హావ్ టు వెరీ కేర్ఫుల్లీ అండర్స్టాండ్.
సప్తగుణ సృష్టి యందు వ్యష్టి సృష్టిగా వచ్చినటువంటి ఆకాశం యొక్క మొదటి సృష్టి చెవి.
ఇన్ విత్ రెఫరెన్స్ సత్వగుణ రిప్రజెంటింగ్ ఈథర్ ఈజ్ ద హ్యాండ్ ఇయర్ ఇయర్.
రజోగుణమునందు వ్యష్టి సృష్టి అయినటువంటిది ఆకాశం యొక్క సృష్టి, ఇది కన్ను.
వెన్ ఇట్ కమ్స్ టు రజోగుణ ద ఇండివిజువలైజ్డ్ లిమ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫైవ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ద ఈథర్
వాత ఆ యొక్క ఆకాశమునకు ఇద్దరు బిడ్డలు. రజోగుణము యొక్క బిడ్డ కన్ను, సత్వగుణము యొక్క బిడ్డ చెవి.
ఫర్ ది ఈథర్ త్రూ సత్వగుణ ఈజ్ బోర్న్ ఇయర్, త్రూ రజోగుణ ఈజ్ బోర్న్ ఐ.
ఆకాశం యొక్క మొదటి బిడ్డ చెవి, రెండవ బిడ్డ కన్ను.
ద ఫస్ట్ చైల్డ్ ఆఫ్ ఇథర్ ఈజ్ ఇయర్, ద సెకండ్ చైల్డ్ ఈజ్ ఐ.
మొదటి బిడ్డ అయినటువంటి యొక్క చెవి బయట విషయాన్ని లోపలికి స్వీకరిస్తుంది.
ఇయర్ ఈజ్ మెంట్ ఫర్ అబ్జార్బింగ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఈజ్ ఎక్స్టర్నలీ మేడ్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ సౌండ్.
రెండో బిడ్డ అయినటువంటి కన్ను స్వీకరించిన దానిని బయటికి విడిచిపెడుతుంది.
The eye is meant to leave out what is taken through the ear. The second aspect of the mouth, the word,
ఇంక సత్వగుణం యొక్క వాయు యొక్క బిడ్డ చర్మము.
The first child of సత్వగుణ is skin.
రజోగుణం యొక్క వాయు బిడ్డ చెయ్యి.
The second child of air through rajoguna is hand.
ఎక్కడైనా దేహం పైన ఒక చీమ పారాడుతూ ఉంటుంటే ఈ స్పర్శ తెలుసుకుంటుంది చర్మం.
The power of touch will make you know even if there is an ant crawling on
it. తెలుసుకున్న తక్షణమే చేయి తీసి పారవేస్తుంది.
The moment you come to know of an ant on your body, the hand takes it away and throws it out.
ఏకావాత సత్వగుణము యొక్క అంశములు స్వీకరించటము.
ది సమ్ అండ్ సబ్స్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ది థింగ్స్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ సత్వగుణ రిసీవ్ థింగ్స్.
రజోగుణం యొక్క సంతతి దానిని విసర్జించటం.
ద చిల్డ్రన్ ఆఫ్ రజోగుణ హెల్ప్ ఇన్ టేకింగ్ దట్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ సిస్టమ్.
కనుక ఈనాడు లోకము ఏ రీతిగా ఉన్నదంటే రజోగుణము స్వీకరిస్తా ఉంది, సత్వగుణం విసర్జిస్తా ఉంది. దీనికి ఉల్టా సీద్ అంటారు, విరుద్ధంగా నడుస్తూ వస్తుంటారు.
టుడేస్ పొజిషన్ ఈజ్ కాంట్రరీ టు ఇట్స్ నేచురల్ వే. రజోగుణ ఈజ్ అబ్జార్బింగ్ అండ్ సత్వగుణ ఈజ్ థ్రోయింగ్ అవుట్.
సృష్టి యొక్క రహస్యము, నిజస్వరూపము సత్వగుణం మాత్రమే స్వీకరించాలి.
ది నేచర్ అండ్ ది మిస్టరీ ఇన్ ది సీక్రెట్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్ ఈజ్ సత్వగుణ షుడ్ రిసీవ్ థింగ్స్.
రజోగుణం యొక్క తత్వమునే విసర్జించాలి.
రజోగుణ షుడ్ త్రో ఇట్ అవుట్ ఆర్ గివ్ అప్ దోస్ థింగ్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ అబ్జార్బ్ బై సత్వగుణం.
క్వైట్ ఎ కాంప్లికేటెడ్ సెగ్మెంట్
అండ్ వి క్వైట్ లాస్ట్ ఇన్ దట్ డిస్కోర్స్. వి డిడ్ రియలైజ్ దట్ ఇట్ వాస్ కమింగ్ టు ఎన్ ఎండ్.
ది క్లిప్ వాస్ కమింగ్ టు ఎన్ ఎండ్,
రైట్?
బట్ as it is how Swami has clearly explained that every element has got the sattva and rajas manifestations of themselves. So he says the sattva manifestation of the element and the rajas manifestation of the element are correlated, so they could be considered as like two children of the same element,
right?
That is by way of trying to understand. You have any more?
Now, when Swami is speaking about the sattvic aspects, now he was talking about perception. The jnanendriyas, we take it from the external
world into the internal. So there, this Veda mantra, Bhadram Karani Vishrunuyama Devaha. So Swami says here that we are working, currently the society or the world is working against. That is, it is trying to imbibe more of rajasic qualities and then get rid of sattvic qualities. So if you look at this Veda mantra, which talks about Bhadram Karnebihi Shruniyama, which means, let my ears listen to auspicious things. Bhadram Pashye Ma Akshabihi, let my eyes see good things. So that is, he is talking about sattva being taken in. So this is something that...
Nice, very nice.
One thing which I'm just thinking of, I don't know if I'm thinking in the right direction. For instance, Swami gave that example of an ant, you know, crawling across your skin, and then your hand going to do what is needful is rajas. You know, one thing what Swami is saying is nothing is good and bad. That's something which Swami always says. You know, always the mistake is in the way you look at it.
Correct.
So one thing Swami is saying is whatever input the senses actually take in are only sattvic, in a sense. What does the processing is actually the antakarnas, you know, the mind and the chitta and the buddhi and ahankara. And what decision they actually pass on to the karmendras is what makes an act rajasic or otherwise. Because, you know, if I'm hearing somebody talking something ill of me, what I'm hearing is just sound. What I'm hearing is, you know, in a discourse before Swami said that. So there is nothing like good or bad when the ear is just hearing.
Correct.
But it becomes good or bad only in my reaction and the reaction which happens in my head. I think that is what Swami is telling here, that the senses are only, basically only do, deal only with sattva. Because there is no difference for the ear, there is no difference for, you know, any of these senses of perception. All the difference happens only in the level of the thinking and the way you react to what happens.
Yeah, and like you rightly put, the manas aspect, the antahkarana, and among the antahkarana, the manas is most important. Now Swami says, maneva manushyanam karanam bandha moksheho. See, when you perceive certain things, whether you get attached or is it going to take you closer to the attachment to God, or no, getting detached from the world. So that is something that mind has to work with. So in Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, when Vyasa is writing a commentary, there he quotes that mind is like a queen bee.
Okay.
And all the senses are like other bees which follow the queen bee wherever they go. So we need to take care of mind. I am reminded of one incident. This happened in Vrindavan quite a few years ago. Once Swami was sitting with the boys, and Swami asked, if you look at Narayana, what is that you immediately think of? Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma. So the four signs, which is Shankham is the conch, Chakra is the Sudarshana disc. Chakra, disc, and Gada is the mace, and the Padma is the lotus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So Swami asked, each of this, what does it represent? So somebody said Shankha is sound aspect, which is Nada Brahman. So that is talking about all pervasive Brahman and all that. So Narayana has it in his control. Next is the disc, which is the Kala Chakra. So the God is having the control over time. And next is Gada. Gada stands for power. So God has the omnipotence, no? He has all the power. And next comes to
Padma.
Swami asks, what is Padma? Swami, it is lotus. So what is the comparison, or what is the simile here? So immediately everybody answers, purity. So you are holding purity in your hand. So immediately Swami says, wrong answer. Whatever the boys say, Swami says, wrong answer, wrong answer. And at the end Swami says, that Padma is my devotee's heart. So I am holding it in my hand. So, you know, immediately the question comes, then why is that, Swami, we are going all the, you know, we are doing so many things bad, evil things and all that. So immediately Swami responded telling, I have given you something called mind. That is given to you, which will direct you this way or that way. So it is like a lock and key. So you turn the key this way, it binds you, the other way it... So, and Swami says, you give the mind to me, or you transfix your mind on me, then everything will be fine. So, although Swami holds our heart with Him, the mind is with us. So we'll have to ensure that that goes in the right direction.
And you know, in this particular clip when I was listening, Swami was saying that sattva is hearing and sattva is seeing and all that, and rajas is the karmendriya aspect of it. You know, reminded of one thing which Swami would often say whenever he refers to three gunas. A typical analogy which Swami would give, he would say the sattva is like a golden chain, rajas is like a silver chain, sure, and the other is like a bronze or a, you know, of a lesser metal. Mm. But Swami would say even sattva binds as much as the others bind. Mm. So it is just that you're transcending one form to the other, but eventually you'll have to break sattva too. Mm. And an incident which happened, you know, once Swami was with the students. That time Swami was talking about reaction, reflection and resound. And he was talking about karma and how everything comes back to you. And Swami was giving a detailed discourse. There was this one little boy who was sitting there, and he seemed to be a little more perplexed than the rest of the crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, he was very disturbed and he was wondering, what is this? Something was troubling him and it was very apparent. Swami looked at this boy and said, "Hey boy, what are you thinking about? What are you worried about?" So this boy said, "Swami, any bad I do will come back to me." Mm-hmm. He said, "Yes, you will have to suffer every bad that you do." He said, "Even the slightest, smallest?" He said, "Yes, it will come back to you." Then this boy said, "Swami, even the good I do will come back to me." And Swami said, "Yes, every good that you do also will come back to you. And this boy said, "Swami, then what is the way out? If I do bad or if I do good, I have to come back to enjoy or suffer. Mm-hmm. So which means I am not going to be released from this cycle at all. You know, what is the way out?" Swami said, "There's only one way out. You have to give up doership."
Mm.
And you know, just putting it in this context of sattva and rajas, as long as you are, you know, in that state of I am seeing, I am hearing, I am doing, you might be in a very pure state. Like you might not react to what is happening to you. But as long as you are stuck to that idea that I am hearing and this is my hearing and this is my sight and this is what I am seeing, this is what I am observing, you might be a pure person, you might be a sattvic person, but you have not given up that final, you know, the breaking of the golden chain also.
Correct. In fact, if you just look at the rajasic manifestations of the elements, it is the karmendriyas, the hand, the feet and vak. These are things which you can easily control with some practice and discipline. But to control sight, hearing, touch, smell, you need a, you know, more, you cannot control it. You just have to realize that you are not the one who is smelling it. You are not the one who is seeing it. Mm. I mean, you have to separate yourself from the faculty of sight.
So you are neither the perceiver nor the perceived.
So, as far as rajasic manifestation, you can control what your hands are doing, you can control what you are speaking, etc. So, that is one thing I think it gets more subtler. You are forced to tell that, okay, seeing happens, hearing happens, and that body is seeing and hearing, but I am not seeing. So I think that's the only way you go beyond sattvic.
Absolutely, because you know that is how Swami starts this discourse. You know that padyam with which he starts and then he says sarvam kalvidam brahma. Mm. He's saying that ever keep this fixed on your mind that this is the truth.
Mm.
I mean, whether you want it or you don't want it, you have reached it, you have not reached it, you're trying or not trying, you are God.
You know,
let's talk about the differences now. It's almost like that, you know.
Before we go further, you were mentioning about the attributes of Lord Vishnu. Mm-hmm. Just not to keep the Shaivites out of picture. Lord Shiva is having the same things.
Absolutely.
All the five elements, you know, you have Ganga from his Jatadura, then you have the fire from his third eye, you have Trishul, then Damuru, sound.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all very symbolic. And in a sense, the Sattvic, Rajas and Tamas, I think, is represented by the Trinity as well.
Right.
So, if they are manifestations of each of these gunas, then obviously the five elements are a part of them as well.
Absolutely.
So, you can even draw that.
And one other thing was, I was just coming across a nice conversation in Sandehe Nivarani,
mm-hmm.
one of the Vahinis that Swami has written, in a conversational form. So, a Bhakta asks something and Bhagavan answers. Both, of course, were written by Swami.
<That's true. laughs>
So, in that particular conversation, Swami talks about the antahkarana and all that.
Okay.
So, immediately, one question comes, and Swami explains, when during the course of explaining, he says, the mind is controlled so much by the vasanas,
mm-hmm.
or And because of this, the bhakta asks, Swami, if it is going to be caught in the vasanas and all that, is there no way to escape?
I mean, is there a way we could translate vasanas to English for people who don't follow? Influences of whatever you've gone through.
I'm not getting the exact equivalent, of course. Okay. It's difficult. Yeah, influence is one of the things. Mm. So, what Swami says is, if you look at charcoal, charcoal is supposed to be black. It is black. But is it possible to make it red? Yes. If you add fire to it, it is going to become red.
Right.
So although the mind gets caught in the vasanas, it is its nature to get caught in the vasanas, by God's grace, which is the fire, it can just escape out of it and then it can change itself.
Correct.
So Swami says, God's grace is necessary for you to cross over that mind getting bound to the vasanas.
Okay. I think that's one point which we made last week also. One thing which is very obviously coming forth from this discourse is what Swami is trying to tell is, understand that you're not the one who's influenced. You're the one who's actually beyond all this. You're just party to the whole creation. But the problem is always we think that we are the one who is the victim of all these things which are happening. And I'm being carried forward. And that was a thing which came out saying that what Swami wants us to do is associate, like I think one of the earlier episodes we mentioned, where Swami was trying to explain to a devotee what is actually realization, you know. And Swami said, you look at all these bulbs, okay. And Swami said, see, there are two aspects in that. There is a bulb and there is a current passing. All I'm telling you is, understand that you're not the bulb, you're the current.
So I'm reminded of another Zen story here. It seems some a group of people called a master to give a sermon. And there was just one sentence that the master said, and he closed it there. He said, all I do is sit on the river bed and sell river water.
How profound is that?
So here Swami says, you look at the current and you are not the bulb, you are the current. He's exactly telling you, oh fool, what is this? It's such a wonderful reality and you are missing it out.
That's a definition which would make Swami the perfect marketing man, because the definition of a marketing person, they say a real good marketing guy can sell ice to an Eskimo. So I think a guru or Swami is perfect that way as a marketing executive.
On the humorous side, in the movie of Mr. Bean, he's come as the expert on art.
Right.
So that person is asking, what do you do the whole day? He says, I just sit and look at the paintings. He says, oh, how profound. So everything is, you have to know who is looking, that's all. So do we have time for the next clip?
Yeah, I think we do. We'll just play the next clip in that discourse.
సత్వగుణమే మొట్టమొదటి పదము. ద ఫస్ట్ వర్డ్ అసోసియేటెడ్ విత్ ఎంటైర్ క్రియేషన్ ఇస్ సత్వగుణం. ఈ ప్రకృతికి స్త్రీ అని ఒక పేరు. వన్ ఈక్వల్ అండ్ వన్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ క్రియేషన్ ద నేచర్ ఇస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ ఉమన్. త్రీ, స్త్రీ అనగా సకార తకార రకారములతో కూడినటువంటిదే స్త్రీ. దిస్ త్రీ కన్సిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ త్రీ సిలబల్స్, సకార తకార అండ్ రకార. అనగా సకార తకార రకారం అనగా ఏమిటంటే మొట్టమొదట సాత్వికము స్వీకరించాలి. దీస్ త్రీ సిలబల్స్ సకార తకార రిప్రజెంట్ త్రీ థింగ్స్. సాకార రిప్రజెంట్స్ యు షుడ్ రిసీవ్. రెండవది తకారమనే తమో గుణమును అనగా మర్యాదగా వినయగా ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క అనకుగా ఉండేటువంటి గుణములను అభివృద్ధి పరచుకోవాలి.
దిస్ తకార రిప్రజెంట్స్ తమో గుణ. You should be humble, obedient, slow.
Rakara అనేటువంటిది కట్టకదపడది.
Rakara is the last among the three syllables.
ఇక్కడ కొన్ని సమయములందు కొన్ని దీక్షను, కొన్ని ప్రతిజ్ఞలను, కొన్ని విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క కఠినమైనటువంటి యొక్క చర్యలను తీసుకోవాల్సి వస్తుంది.
Certain circumstances necessitate taking a few vows and taking a few resolutions.
కనుక రజోగుణం అనేటువంటిది విధి లేనటువంటి పరిస్థితి యందు కట్టకడపటికి స్వీకరించవలసినటువంటిదే కాని మొట్టమొదటి స్వీకరించవలసింది కాదు.
దిస్ క్వాలిటీ ఆఫ్ రజోగుణ under extraordinary circumstances and compelling circumstances alone must be accepted. Otherwise, in the normal course, Rajoguna should not have any place.
Prakriti yokka rahasyamunandu prapradhamamulo prarambhamayyetundi sakarame.
In the
anya sattvikamu.
In understanding the mystery of nature, one has to see that nature starts with sakara and sattvaguna.
Kanuka prati manavudu kudanu sattvaguna amshamunandu sattvaguna prakriyendu sattvaguna bimbamunandu సత్యగుణ తేజస్సు నందు సత్యగుణ మార్గము నందు సత్యగుణ ప్రవర్తన నందు మానవత్వము అభివృద్ధి గావించుకోవాలి.
ఎవరీ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్ హ్యాస్ టు డెవలప్ హిస్ హ్యూమన్ క్వాలిటీస్ ఇన్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ సత్వగుణ, ఇట్స్ రెస్ప్లెండెన్స్, ఇట్స్ గ్రేట్ క్వాలిటీస్, ఇట్స్ సేక్రెడ్ క్వాలిటీస్.
ఇంకా తమో గుణం యొక్క సృష్టి ఏ విధంగా ఉంటుండాలంటే పంచభూతముల యొక్క మిశ్రమమై ఉంటుండాలి.
వెన్ యూ కమ్ టు తమో గుణ, you have a combination of these five elements in all the creation associated with tamoguna.
Ikkada panchabhutamulu paripurna bhutamulu ikkada mishram kaaledu.
The full elements are not mixed or combined.
Panchikrutamulu ikkada cheripoyayi.
It is these panchikrutas which have come together and formed into tamoguna.
Anaga deeniki oka chakkani idi andariki artham ayyetundi vishayam kaadu. కాబట్టి అర్థమయ్యే నిమిత్తమై నేను కొంత ప్రాపంచిక సంబంధమైన విషయంలో మీకు ఒక ఉపమానాన్ని చెప్తాను.
దిస్ పర్టికులర్ థింగ్ ఈజ్ రాదర్ డిఫికల్ట్ ఫర్ ఎవరీ వన్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్. ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు మేక్ థింగ్స్ సింపుల్ అండ్ క్లియర్ ఐ వుడ్ లైక్ టు గివ్ ఎ వర్లీ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ అండ్ మేక్ ఇట్ క్లియర్.
ఇక్కడ ఆకాశము, వాయువు, అగ్ని, జలము, పృథ్వీ ఇవి ఐదు ఐదు వ్యక్తి స్వరూపాలు.
Ether, air, fire, water and earth, these are all five individual entities.
ఈ ఐదు మంది ఒక చోట కూడినారు.
Let us just say these five people representing these five have come together.
ఒక్కొక్కరి దగ్గర ఒక్కొక్క రూపాయి ఉంటుంది.
Each one has one rupee with him.
ఈ ఆకాశం అనేటువంటి వాడు తన రూపాయిని చిల్లరగా మార్చాడు.
This individual called ether converted this rupee into small changes.
Ardha rupaye tana daggara pettukoni rendu rendu analu nalugurki panchutu vachadu.
He retained with himself half a rupee. The remaining half a rupee he distributed equally among the remaining four.
Ade vidhamga rendo bhutamainatunti yokka vayu kudanu dan tana rupayani chillara chesi అర్ధ రూపాయి తన దగ్గర పెట్టుకుని తాను కూడాను రెండు రెండు రూపాయలు అంత నలుగురికి పంచుతూ వచ్చాడు.
సిమిలర్లీ ది ఎయిర్ డివైడెడ్ ఇట్స్ రూపీ ఇంటూ టూ హాఫ్, రిటైన్ హాఫ్ విత్ ఇట్ అండ్ రిమైనింగ్ హాఫ్ రూపీ వాజ్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూటెడ్
అగ్ని కూడాను అనుసరిస్తూ వచ్చింది.
ద సేమ్ థింగ్ వాజ్ ఫాలోడ్ బై ఫైర్ ఆల్సో విత్ ఇట్స్ రూపీ.
తిరిగి జలము కూడాను ఇదే పద్ధతిని అనుసరిస్తూ వచ్చింది.
సేమ్ థింగ్ వాజ్ ఫాలోడ్ బై వాటర్ ఆల్సో.
పృథ్వీ కూడాను అంతే ఈ పద్ధతిని అనుసరిస్తూ వచ్చింది.
అర్త్ ఆల్సో ఫాలోడ్ ది సేమ్.
ఈ విధంగా అనుసరిస్తూ రావటం చేత కట్టకటప్పటికి ఏమైపోయింది, అందరి దగ్గర రూపాయి రూపాయి రూపాయిగానే మిగిలింది.
బై దిస్ ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూషన్ అట్ ది ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూషన్ ఈచ్ వన్ హ్యాడ్ వన్ రూపీ.
అయితే ఈ రూపాయలు ఏ విధంగా ఒక్కొక్క రూపాయిగా మిగిలినాయి? పూర్వము గట్టి అయినటువంటి ఒకే రూపాయి ఉండినది, ఇప్పుడు చిల్లరతో కూడినటువంటి రూపాయిగా మారిపోయింది.
అర్లియర్ దెర్ వాస్ ఎన్ అన్డివైడెడ్ సింగిల్ రూపీ విత్ ఈచ్ వన్, బట్ నౌ ఈచ్ వన్ ఈస్ హావింగ్ రూపీ బట్ ఇన్ చేంజెస్ స్మాలర్ కాయిన్స్.
అనగా పూర్వం ఉండినటువంటి యొక్క పంచభూతములు అనేటువంటిదే గట్టి రూపాయి, ఈ చిల్లర రూపాయలే పంచీకృతములు అని.
దిస్ పంచభూతాస్ ఫైవ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ ఆర్ దిస్ అన్డివైడెడ్ రూపీస్ యాజ్ సచ్. But when they were converted into changes, they are panchikrutas.
Manavattamu chillar rupayaluga chalavali avutuntundadi.
The human beings which are made up of this panchikruta are like the changes coming together and becoming one rupee.
Anaga bhinna bhinna bhavamulato koodi vastundadi.
That means to say that they are having different feelings associated with elements.
Ekatvanni anekatvanga bhavinchindi.
On account of this, unity is perceived as diversity.
Puramu anekattvam ainatundi ekatvanga undetundi.
Earlier, Without diversity there was unity, total unity.
Adi rupaiki padaharu analu anedi puram.
That means that 1 rupee had 16 anas earlier.
Ikkada manishiki padaharu gunalu ani.
Here man has 16 qualities.
Vitini adhyatmika tattvam nandu shodashakalalu annaru.
In spiritual parlance, this has been described as 16 aspects.
Ee 16, ee 18 kalalu emitivi?
What are these 16 aspects?
16 kalalu.
16 aspects.
Ikkada 5 panchendriyamulu,
5 senses,
5 gnanendriyamulu, karmendriyamulu, 5 karmendriyamulu, 5 gnanendriyamulu.
5 the organs of action, 5 the organs of
knowledge. Ee udhavinchinatvanti yokka panchabhutamulu 5.
And 5 elements.
Ikkada manasu okati. Ive 16 కళలు.
అండ్ వన్ మైండ్ టుగెదర్ బికమ్ 16 ఆస్పెక్ట్స్.
ఇవి కేవలం భగవంతుని ఎందే 16 కళలు ఉంటున్నాయని భావించడం చాలా వెర్రితనం.
ఇట్ ఈస్ రాదర్ రాంగ్ అండ్ మిస్టేకన్ నోషన్
బికాస్ ఈ వ్యక్తి కూడాను 16 కళలతో ఉంటున్నాడు.
నాట్ మెర్లీ గాడ్, ఎవ్రీ ఇండివిజువల్ హ్యాస్ దీస్ 16 ఆస్పెక్ట్స్.
కనుకనే ఈశావాస్యం ఇదం సర్వం. ఈశావాసికోపనిషత్తును ఈశ్వరుడు సర్వత్రా ఉంటుండేటువంటి వాడు. ఈశ్వర సర్వభూతానాం.
That is why it is said God permeates everything, God dwells in every being.
ఈ మానవుడు ఏకత్వాన్ని అనేకత్వంగా మార్చడానికి వచ్చిన కారణం ఏమిటి?
Why is it that individual is perceiving the diversity in unity?
దీనికి అభిష్టములే మూల కారణం.
The most important reason is desire.
So Prakash, today is one day when I feel that was this too ambitious a project for us?
Very true, absolutely. And I have concluded it is.
No, incidentally, they say that if a scholar speaks, you should try to understand. But if the master speaks, do not attempt to understand.
Very true. You know, that's what they say, you know, when the masters, when anybody else speaks, you hear. But when the master speaks, you listen. You just let it go right in, don't think about it. And you know, it's something really I've not come across before, and it's definitely very profound what Swami is saying
and,
here.
The beautiful example that Swami gives with each one having 1 rupee. I mean, who else can give it except right. Swami?
And the starting of the clip was a very interesting one, where Swami speaks about Stree and what does Stree actually stand for.
Correct.
Beautiful, at least something practical to take home from this clip, I hope. But, you know, just another thing which Swami would often say is, you know, that event which happened in the life of Mirabai, when she goes to Vrindavan, I think, you know, where she's not allowed inside the ashram. And they say women are not allowed here. This is an all-men's ashram or whatever she's been told. And then she makes that very profound point. She says that, you know, you all are only Stree.
Correct.
There are only women. We all are women. There's only one Purusha. You know, putting that in what Swami is explaining as Stree, I think all of us stand for that same aspect of Prakriti which Swami is explaining
here. Made of
here.
The three gunas.
Yes.
Sattva, Rajas, Tamas.
And the wonderful way where Swami is saying that, you know, Sattva, Rajas, Tamas have to be put in the right place where Sattvic is necessary, there Sattvic is necessary.
In Bhagavad Gita there is a shloka, Sattvam Rajas Tamaiti Gunaf Prakriti Sambhavaha. So very clearly he says, Sattvam Rajas Tama, all these are the cause for the Prakriti. Nibadhanti Mahabaho Dehe Nehinamogyam. So this is what is going to separate the Deha and the Dehi.
Oh,
okay.
So, this example of the earthen pot, which has the same air that is outside,
inside
the same atmosphere is there. It's just that has to break.
Right. In fact, some of the spiritual texts say that for the atmosphere, it makes no difference. You know, whether it's inside the pot or outside. For the akasha or, you know, that aspect, it means nothing. It's only for the one who is separating himself from the scene and seeing it and you know, saying that.
Swami very nicely gives an analogy here. There are two analogies related to this. One of the analogies is that he talks about the balloon. So you fill the balloon and it is the same consciousness that is within the balloon. It is, there are two ways for that consciousness to be part of the same universal consciousness. So this balloon membrane has to go off. So either you just, you know, puncture the thing so that the air from inside comes out, or keep blowing until a point where the balloon just bursts. So it just disappears. So these are two ways for you to, you know, just feel that you are that unity or unison with God. And I was actually tempted earlier before this clip was played. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the chains. Swami says it's literally that's how we have been chained. And there are two ways to get out of the chain.
Correct.
One is the dasoham bhavam, another is soham bhavam.
Mm.
Right.
Dasoham bhavam is the small I, that is, I am the slave of God.
Mm.
And in that, what happens is you become smaller and smaller and smaller, and you escape out of the chain.
Mm.
It no longer ties you. And soham bhavam is I am him, I am him, I am him, and you expand, and the chain is not able to really tie you up.
Beautiful.
You know, even as you are talking about that balloon analogy, someone was sharing another analogy, which again has come from Swami. Very beautiful analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Swami says there is an egg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it is broken from outside, life is dead. If it is broken from inside, life is born.
Oh.
You know, that's what Swami says, that, you know, whatever change is coming, it has to come from within. It should not be forced because of the circumstances you put in. You know, we are all forced philosophers. You know, when you're put in the difficult time in life, then we think of philosophy. But Swami says that it comes as an inspiration from within, without any impetus from the without. And that's when actually life is born, you know.
There is one sentence here which I didn't understand, and I'm still confused about it. It says, while the combined...
That's great, Sai Prakash. You found only one sentence you're confused about.
The enlightened one.
While the combined operation of the five elements in their sattvic aspect is seen in the antakarna, the collective functioning of the five elements in their rajasic aspect expresses itself as the life force or prana.
Right.
This was one point which Swami just mentioned, and then he went on to give the correlation between sattvic manifestation of the elements and rajasic. I just don't understand what is this prana, but I think we'll have to read up more upon
yes,
that.
And hopefully maybe Swami will come back to that point later.
Hopefully.
Because even I was wondering where is that mention of prana coming in this.
I don't know, I just feel that there is some hint, because all this is made up, Swami is describing the individual, the vyashti aspect,
right,
of an individual. So this is the this thing, these are the aspects of an individual. But you know, whenever Swami has always mentioned it, samashti bhavam, when he says the unity in society, that is divinity. So, you know, it's still not very clear for me how these elements, okay, unless you think of it as, unless you see unity in everybody, you are made out of five elements and you are made out of the manifestation of the five elements, so is the person sitting right opposite you. So, does Swami mean that once you realize that, then that samashti bhavam, that coming together, that unity, he says unity is divinity. So, these are concepts which I'm still groping.
No, one thing which I maybe make a short mention of, that there's one frontier scientific research which is going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's very popular in neuroscience, you know, where they talk about something called mirror neurons.
Okay.
Like, if I'm doing an action, let us say I'm picking up a pen from here,
mm-hmm,
there are a certain set of neurons in a particular part of the brain which get fired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how the brain reacts to this action.
Okay.
But they found a very, very interesting thing. If you were to do the same act, similar neurons get fired up in the same area.
Oh.
So it is almost like my brain is reacting the same way whether I am doing the action or you're doing the action.
Oh, is it?
It is just that, you know, maybe it's 20% of what would get fired up if I'm doing it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, like, suppose I'm here and you come and touch my hand.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain neurons which get fired up. Suppose somebody touches your hand, the 20% of the same area gets fired up. So what the scientists say is, you know, immediately the brain sends signals to that part of the hand to find out, were you touched? Okay?
Amazing.
So they say that neuron sends back information, no, it's not your hand. So then the brain says, okay, I was not touched. So it's almost saying that is the actually, now that's what scientists are coming to the belief, that this response from the body saying that, no, that is not mine. That is what actually is stopping you from believing that everything is you.
Everything is you. Oh. In fact, that is the scientific approach, but Nisargadatta Maharaj, you know, based on his own experience so he was just explaining that you contribute to the existence of the entire universe as much as the entire universe contributes to your existence. So they ask him, in fact it comes in the context of miracles. So he says, I don't know if nature permits miracles unless you look at everything as a miracle.
Oh.
Everything is a miracle. Everything is a miracle, and then you contribute as much to the existence of this universe as the universe contributes to your existence. So in a way it's kind of summing up that the same elements that are in you is in the entire universe. That anoraniyam mahatomahiyam purnamada purnamida, you know, all right. These concepts.
Now I am reminded of one hypothesis that was given by some psychologist. I'm not sure who that is. It's about the universal mind that he proposes. He says, each of us, we think we have our own mind. Mm-hmm. He says there is one common mind,
mm-hmm.
and each of us have access to portions of that.
Correct.
And he gives lot of examples empirically to prove that that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things is that he takes the example of the Times crossword.
Mm-hmm.
When people are going to work in the morning, they take the Times crossword with them, and then they start solving it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, part of his work, he has done a survey that even the easiest crosswords
mm-hmm.
in the morning, mm-hmm. they appear, although they have the fresh mind and all that,
mm-hmm.
they appear to be tough.
Okay.
But as the day moves on, mm-hmm. and people are coming back from work,
mm-hmm.
even the most difficult crosswords appear easy. So he says, the reason is because there are so many people working around, mm-hmm. each one figuring out one clue each. And that is all floating in the universal mind, and that's how it happens.
Wow.
And he gives another example. Mm-hmm. He says, we all know that Marconi invented the radio,
mm-hmm. right?
But at the same time, many people simultaneously claim that they invented the radio.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happened with Einstein when he proposed his theory of relativity.
Mm-hmm.
So, everything is connected. So, that's what it is.
Like, that is something which is very similar to what Paramahamsa Yogananda mentions in his book. I think, if I'm not wrong, Divine Romance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there he says this, isn't it weird that for centuries together, scientists thought that classical mechanics is the only thing which will define everything that you see and you observe.
Mm.
Then altogether, I mean, a fresh generation of scientists believe that no, there's something called quantum. Mm. So don't you think that there is one consciousness which is choosing to evolve from one stage to the other?
Mm.
Instead of we thinking that, you know, I am evolving and the other person is not evolving.
Correct. In fact, you know, I think I mentioned this before, that when we went to one of the saints in Badrinath,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him, did you actually read the Shastras? Did you actually read Bhagavad Gita?
Mm-hmm.
And how are you able to relate and get the knowledge that is there and contained in this? He says, no, we don't have to read. Once you know yourself, the knowledge automatically flows. It's like going into a sphere and tapping in into that energy, tapping in into the knowledge. It all exists. So it's like the collective mind. So, you know, possibly you could actually go back and hear Lord Krishna's voice. You could actually go back and get the knowledge which always exists.
Yeah, typically of how the Bhrigavali starts, I think it's the Bhrigavali,
mm-hmm.
where the son comes and tells the father, I'm an educated man now. I've learned all that is learned. So the father asks him, have you learned that by learning which you know everything? So then the son says, no, that is something which I have not learned. And says, that is the real knowledge you need to know.
Mm.
So I think we've somehow waded through a tough discourse and still midway. We have a couple of clips more to go, but that'll have to wait till next week. So dear listeners, on behalf of all of you, I thank Brother Shyam for joining us here. And definitely you added a lot of value, brother. So an open invitation, whenever you're here, you're always welcome to join us on this program.
Thanks, brothers. It was a wonderful opportunity. I thank Swami for speaking through me.
So dear listeners, we bring this program to a close now. In a short while from now, you'll be joined by Bishu with his last segment of the day, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai, with me Sai Prakash and our special guest, Shyam. And we offer our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet and thank him for this opportunity.